Welcome everybody into the Benchwarmers Redemption. My name is Sebastian Merrick, and it is a solo act today, as no Jimmy nor Blaine Lowry in attendance, probably still celebrating the Nationals Game 6 win last night. Pleasure to be with you. So much to digest through this next hour. We're going to try to get to all as much of it as possible. Of course, we're going to have to start with what occurred last night, Game 6 of the World Series. Phenomenal game. Absolutely phenomenal game. Filled with drama, full of entertainment. The Nationals come out on top 7-2. So much controversy, too, in this one. Obviously, with the seventh inning no-call, we will get to that momentarily. First off, Strasburg. What a performance by Steven Strasburg. Probably just clinched himself a nice doozy, at least a seven-year contract, probably worth $215 million at least. He was absolutely phenomenal. Just a great performance by him. Justin Verlander, on the other hand, now is 0-6 in World Series starts. So postseason struggles, or World Series struggles, pardon me, continue to affect Mr. Verlander. Now, Game 7, obviously, tonight, Wednesday, Max Scherzer, will get the ball for the Nationals, Zach Greinke for the Astros. It's going to be very interesting to see how the Astros approach this, because let's say Greinke struggles by inning 3. He's allowed one run, maybe two runs. He's got runners on first and second. Will A.J. Hinch let him get through it? Or will he go to Urquidy, who was absolutely phenomenal in Game 4, 5 shutout innings? Or does he get an inning out of Mr. Gerrit Cole? I guarantee you we'll see Gerrit Cole tonight. If I had to make one prediction, I'm not even going to predict who will win, because it's going to be an absolute dogfight, and whoever I say will be wrong. So that's my postseason record. But I can predict that Gerrit Cole will pitch tonight. He's going to have a huge impact on this game, and I think he will go at least an inning tonight. Probably no more than two innings. Coming off 2 days rest, he will pitch tonight, for sure. For Scherzer, it will be very intriguing to see how his neck holds up, obviously, with the stinger he had that caused him to miss Game 5. And will they use Patrick Corbin out of the bullpen? Yes, they definitely will. Anibal Sanchez, he will definitely be available as well out of the bullpen tonight. Will, by some crazy chance, and this is completely stretching it, will Strasburg even face a hitter tonight? Kershaw did it after pitching Game 4. Now, granted, he had a day's rest. It would be a big stretch, but just one hitter. Maybe. I'm still holding out hope that happens. I'd love to see Strasburg pitch one more time. But let's get back to the Game 6. Nationals jump out to the early 1-0 lead with the Astros coming back 2-1. Bregman, obviously, with the two-run bomb in the first inning. Carrying his bat to first base, by the way. Pretty show-off-ish. Soto responded after Eden homered. Soto got that one right back, and he carried his bat to first base. So, a little bit of showboating by both teams. And then, obviously, the drama that occurred in the seventh inning. Trey Turner called out at first base for running out of the baseline. That is what the MLB said, not me. Running out of the baseline. And they would have had runners on second and third with no out. Instead, Gomes had to go all the way back to first. And obviously, Davey Martinez was heated. Absolutely livid with the call. He got ejected mid-inning. And I feel for Davey Martinez, man. I feel for that guy, because I would have lost it too. And it felt like the umpires, to eject a manager in a World Series game is just ridiculous, in my opinion. Whether the call, whether he's right, wrong, whatever, Gary Cederstrom, he's the crew chief. I had to do my research on these umpires. Gary Cederstrom, the crew chief, he pointed at Davey Martinez instigating. So, if I was being pointed at, I for sure knew I was going to go off. And I don't blame Davey Martinez one bit. He got his money's worth, got ejected, had to watch the rest of the game from the clubhouse. Now, was the call correct on Trey Turner, was the question. The answer, by the rule, is yes. He was out. However, the rule is a bogus rule. The rule is an absolute disgrace to baseball. Because if you're Trey Turner, what are you supposed to do? Seriously, what are you supposed to do if you're a Trey Turner in that situation? I mean, the rule states you have to run in between the two white lines. The white line on the left is literally right at the end of the dirt. And then you have the one on the right is on the other side of the grass. Pretty much by going to the first on the other side. So you're nowhere near like the alignment of the base. You're nowhere near the alignment of the base. So Trey Turner gets called out. He technically was out of the baseline. But it's a horrible, bogus rule. And I feel for Trey Turner. It's a horrible rule. By law, the umpires got it right. But it's a bogus rule. It is an absolute bogus rule. And they botched it completely, too. They went the replay to see if the Nats could protest the game. They weren't even reviewing the call to see if they could protest the game. But they couldn't because it's a judgment call. If I were the Nats, I'd protest that game too, to be honest with you. It's a bogus rule. It's just an absolute disgrace. Thank goodness Rendon hit that two-run homer in the seventh. As someone who is willing to admit, I don't have strong feelings about this series, but I would like to see the Astros win and get Michael Brantley as an Indians fan. I'd like to see him win a World Series. But I don't have strong feelings about it. Definitely don't have that strong of feelings about it. But as someone who wants the Astros to win the series, I am so happy the Washington Nationals won last night because I could not come and do the show. You might have not had a show this week if the Astros won because of umpires. Like I couldn't do it. I couldn't do a show. I just couldn't. That'd be too hard for me. But the Astros losing 7-2 as the Nationals add a couple in the ninth get the opportunity to bounce back. Spring, their top four has been, or top three, I should say. Bregman's kind of picked it up as of late. Has been really good. Yordan Alvarez has been phenomenal in the World Series after his earlier postseason struggles. Yuli Gurriel is pretty hot as well. And then you have Mr. Overrated, Mr. Carlos Correa. I like Carlos Correa. I think he's a phenomenal baseball player. I really do. But to describe him as one of the best shortstops in baseball, which I hear a lot, is absolutely ludicrous in my opinion. Carlos Correa, he's hitting 172 in the playoffs. He has a 243 on base percentage. Not batting average, 243 on base percentage. Yee. A 375 slugging percentage. Woo! Absolutely phenomenal. And then a 618 on base plus slugging? What? But he's so great. But he's so great, by the way. He's one of the best shortstops in the game of baseball. Also, the strikeouts. 26 strikeouts in 64 at-bats. 26 strikeouts in 64 at-bats. So he strikes out a third of the time. He's up. Phenomenal player, by the way. Phenomenal player. I really do think he's a great player. A good player. Maybe not a great player, but a good player. But to call him one of the best shortstops in baseball, which I hear constantly, which I hear my co-hosts doing, Jimmy and Blaine, love to just harp on Carlos Correa. It is absolute blasphemy that he is a top five shortstop in the game of baseball. I'll wait. If you can name five shortstops better than Carlos Correa, I mean, come on, guys. It's just, there's no way. You can't tell me you wouldn't have Lindor over him. You wouldn't have Trey Turner over him. You wouldn't have Javier Baez over him. You wouldn't have Trevor Story over him. And you wouldn't have Fernando Tatis Jr. over him. You just could not tell me that. He might be in that next class. I'd still take Tim Anderson over him, for sure. Jorge Polanco, probably better than Mr. Correa. Xander Bogaerts, probably better than Mr. Carlos Correa. I could go on. I really could if I wanted to. He's barely in that top 10. I'll give it to him. But to say he's one of the best shortstops in baseball, blasphemy. Absolute blasphemy. Best of luck to both teams, by the way, for a phenomenal Game 7. It's going to be a fun game to watch. For sure. Lots of drama. Moving on to the Philadelphia Phillies. They hired Joe Girardi as their new manager. I think that is going to be a great hire, and I think that could propel them to the top of the National League East next year. I really do believe that. I think the Nationals could be a little over their head. I don't think they're going to keep both Strasburg and Rendon. They're going to have to lose one. Take your pick who it will be. It won't matter because they both have a huge impact. I think the Braves are going to take a little bit of a step back. And I love the Phillies, man. I think they're going to be great. And the Padres also hiring Jace Tinkler. Classic San Diego Padres. Classic. Now, granted, I don't think most of us know much about Mr. Tingler. He was the Rangers minor league coordinator, if I'm not mistaken. But, come on. San Diego, you got to do better than that. Ron Washington was a finalist. Ron Washington, by the way, World Series finalist as well. He's been in the World Series multiple times with the Texas Rangers. Got to do better if you're the Padres. So those are the hirings. Still four more openings left to be filled. In baseball, you have the Mets. You have the Royals. You have the Pittsburgh Pirates. By the way, the Pittsburgh Pirates firing Neil Huntington continue to be an absolute abomination of an organization. Just what a dysfunctional mess. Thank goodness they fired Neil Huntington, by the way. I am so happy for Pittsburgh Pirate fans that they finally got rid of him. Pirate fans could not stand Neil Huntington, from what I heard. I mean, and I don't blame him. Trading Glasnow and Austin Meadows for Chris Archer, really? Really? That's what you want to do? Really? And then Gerrit Cole, obviously that trade not working out. Musgrove's been solid, no doubt about it. However, Colin Moran, kind of been disappointing. It's nowhere near the level of Gerrit Cole. I think we can all agree on that. So the four openings, like I said, Pittsburgh, New York Mets, Kansas City Royals, and the San Francisco Giants was the last team who interviewed Bob Guerin today as well. All right, time to talk about some football. Starting off with just a brief glimpse of the NFL trade deadline. Nothing happened. Not surprising at all, but you still got a lot of teams in contention. Aqib Talib, the only real move for the Dolphins, picking him up, just really eating his salary at this point. But it'll be interesting to see if he even plays a game this year remaining. I doubt he will. Probably just put him on IR, eat the salary, take the extra pick. To the games. You have a lot of great games, by the way, this week. Lots of great football. But we'll start with the Washington Redskins on Thursday Night Football. Losing 19-9 to the Vikings, Stephon Diggs had 140 or more receiving yards now in three straight games. So Stephon Diggs has been phenomenal. For the Vikings, I don't think there's much to take away. They did what they were supposed to do. For the Redskins, Dwayne Haskins. Yikes. It's not looking good for my man. It's not looking good for my man, Dwayne. I love Dwayne Haskins as a Buckeye fan. I think he's a great, great football player. However, I don't think he wants it enough. I'm going to say it. I don't think he wants it enough. I don't think he's in the film room as often as he should be. And it shows on the football field. I mean, a pick, once again, not a game where Dwayne Haskins hasn't had a pick in his NFL career. Now, granted, he's only played two regular season games, both coming in later in the game, but still not ideal if you're the Redskins. Trent Williams, by the way, reporting back for the Redskins. They just continue to be dysfunctional, Washington. Bruce Allen is probably the worst general manager in the National Football League. I don't know what his official title is, but in terms of the lead guy making football decisions, he's the worst in football, in my humble opinion. I think he did not trade Trent Williams because he was bitter. And he was like, no, you're going to stay here. You're just going to waste your career with us instead of doing the right thing as an organization and getting assets for Trent. Now, Trent Williams did report to the Washington Redskins facility. However, he has made it very clear he will not play for the Redskins. He is just here to get his paycheck. So that should be a nice legal battle coming up soon once the Redskins withhold his pay and Trent's like, no, I was here. That will be a very nice battle between the NFLPA and the National Football League. Moving on to the Indianapolis Colts squeaking by the Denver Broncos 15-13. Adam Vinatieri, the go-ahead 51-yard field goal with 22 seconds remaining in the game. Takeaways in this one. I mean, for the Broncos, they just continue to be disappointing. Joe Flacco absolutely blasting Vic Fangio, saying they played not to win, but to try not to lose. Criticizing the play calling. He is out for the next 5 to 6 weeks with a neck injury. So Flacco is pretty much saying, well, I'm not going to be here next year anyway. Just air the coaches out now. But maybe you could pass better, Joe. Maybe more than 174 yards would be nice. I mean, Cortland Sutton's a pretty nice target to have. Noah Fant, not bad, but he's been a little disappointing with the penalties he's had. Deshaun Hamilton, I like Deshaun Hamilton a little bit. He had a rough one. But Indianapolis, they're going to have to play more consistent, for sure. They got away with one against the Broncos. Jacoby Brissett was not the best. Marlon Mack had a pretty solid game. But they got away with one in Indianapolis. They definitely did. And they're going to have to play better if they want to contend for a Super Bowl. And they can't play like that against the good teams. And I don't think they will. I don't think they will. But who knows? For the Broncos, season over at 2-6. Brandon Allen will start against my Browns. I'll get into the Browns later. My disgust with the Cleveland Browns. Absolute disgust. But the Broncos, I think they will actually beat the Cleveland Browns, and you will hear why later in the show. Moving on to Nashville, Tennessee, as the Titans beat the Buccaneers 27-23. Mike Evans, by the way, passing James Wilder for most receptions in Tampa Bay Buccaneers franchise history. So congratulations to Mike Evans. Wanted to shout him out on the show. Story has to be Jameis Winston once again. I'll tell you what. I think the end is near for Jameis Winston in Tampa Bay. And as you listeners know, I've been a big Jameis Winston fan for a long, long time. Not as a person. I'll make that clear. Not as a person, but as a football player. Obviously, he has his flaws as a person. But as a football player, I've always loved Jameis Winston as a football player. But the end is near for Jameis Winston. The potential he has is not going to come to fruition. It's not. It's just not. He's too reckless. He's a turnover machine, throwing another two interceptions last night. His throws are so inaccurate. So inaccurate. I mean, the end of the game interception was the biggest force I've ever seen. I mean, there's so many weapons on this Tampa Bay receiving core. Mike Evans, obviously. Godwin's great. I like Cameron Bray. I like O.J. Howard a lot. I like Breshad Perriman more than most people do. He was phenomenal with the Cleveland Browns. I don't know what has happened to Breshad Perriman. He had 4 targets, no receptions. The Buccaneers have, and he also has Bruce Arians, who's only had a winning season every single year he's coached. That's going to end this year, obviously, because of Jameis Winston. He's too reckless with the football. I think the Buccaneers got to move on from him. If this continues, they have a losing season, it's time. It's just time. He's not going to be. If Bruce Arians isn't going to solve him, no one's going to solve him. It's just time. For the Titans, they continue to play well under Tannehill. Will they keep it up? I have my doubts. As in scoring this many points, I think they can win very close football games, though. And I think they will be contending for that last wildcard spot in the AFC. To New Orleans, the Saints beating the Cardinals 31-9. Latavius Murray for the Saints has 4 scrimmage touchdowns. That's passing or rushing. Or not passing, pardon me. Receiving or rushing. Latavius Murray does not play quarterback. I can guarantee you that. 4 scrimmage touchdowns in the last 2 games for Latavius. Cardinals, they were right there until Cliff Kingsbury became Cliff Kingsbury. Going for it on 4th-and-1 on the Cardinals' own 31-yard line. But hey, that's what Cliff Kingsbury does. The 30-yard line. I'm going to make sure I get the yard line correct. The Saints were up 10-6. 4th-and-1 for the Cardinals. Just punt the ball away. Don't do too much. And your defense, who was playing lights out against Drew Brees. Nope, they go for it. Get stuffed. Get the Saints short field. You know what's going to happen with the Saints with the short field. What always happens with the Saints with the short field. Touchdown. 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 Game over. 31-9. Cliff Kingsbury continues to show why he is a flawed head coach, in my opinion. I am not a Cliff Kingsbury fan. I have never been a Cliff Kingsbury fan, and I will never be a Cliff Kingsbury fan. I think Cliff Kingsbury is, to be honest with you, an idiot, in a way. I think he's an idiot. I think his cell phone break policy in practice is ridiculous and immature. It shows a lack of discipline, in my opinion. And he's never won. He's never won anywhere. At Texas Tech, he's never won. He's never had a winning season. He's never, ever won. He had a losing record as a college football coach. Cliff Kingsbury is all about his looks, in my opinion. He's all about his looks, not about the football field. And honestly, I feel bad for Kyler Murray. They got the tools in Arizona, but the front office is a mess. The coaching staff is even worse. And Arizona is 3-4-1. I will say, better than last year, for sure. But still, Cliff Kingsbury, no thank you. Off to London, England, across the pond. The Rams beating the Bengals 24-10. Cooper Kupp with 220 receiving yards, which is the most by a Rams player since 1997. The Bengals, 0-8, announced they have benched Andy Dalton for Ryan Finley at quarterback. I think this is a good decision by the Bengals. Andy Dalton's time is up. He is a solid player. He can start in this league for sure. However, where the Bengals are going, they will not be good anytime soon. So take a look at your young quarterback. You have the bye to prepare him for an extra week. And what better way to start him than against the brutal Baltimore Ravens secondary? I like the move for Cincinnati. For the Rams, did what they're supposed to do. 5-3, they go into their bye in the very loaded NFC. It will be interesting to see. I think the NFC West will get 3 teams out of the wild card. I think they'll get 3 teams to go in the playoffs this year. I really do. I think all 3 of them are going to go. I think the Rams got enough just to get that 6th spot. They will have their bye and have a tough one coming up week 10. Not week 9, obviously, with their bye. Week 10, they will travel to Pittsburgh, which is always a tough game. So, I don't care how the Steelers look. It's always tough to play in Pittsburgh. So, that will be a fun one to watch as well. Jacksonville. beating the Jets 29-15. Gardner Minshew, 3 passing touchdowns, most for a rookie quarterback in franchise history for Jacksonville. Obviously, the question in this one, Mr. Minshew or Mr. Foles? I think the answer is pretty clear, and it is Mr. Minshew, and I hate to say it. I hate to say it. I hate to give it up. I hate to make Jimmy happier than he is. I don't like to do that. But I got to give credit where credit's due. He's been pretty good for the Jacksonville Jaguars. No doubt about it. For the Jets, Sam Darnold, that's my guy, as you listeners know, continues to struggle. I think the seeing ghost comments affected him against Jacksonville, and I think it's going to affect him the rest of his rest of this season, maybe his career, as long as Adam Gase is there. But I still think ESPN did him absolutely dirty, or the NFL, whoever's in charge of that. Darnold threw 3 more interceptions against Jacksonville. The Jets, also with the controversy of Mr. Jamal Adams saying he wanted to stay in New York City, but the Jets shopped him around. Mr. Joe Douglas, the general manager of the New York Jets, shopping Adams around, pretty much blasting them. I think Adams just increased his chances of getting traded in the offseason for sure. And I think Adam Gase has to go. Adam Gase, it's not going to work. I've been an Adam Gase guy for a while, but not anymore. It's just not working. It's not working in New York City. They got to do better. They got to do better in New York City. And Adam Gase, the ship has sailed for Adam. And I think it'd be good for him to just go back and be an offensive coordinator again. I think being a head coach could be a little too much. Some guys are made to be a head coach and some are made to be a coordinator. I think Adam Gase would do himself well just to go back to a coordinator spot. Once the Jets decide to part ways with him, I think they will part ways with him at the end of the season, as they should. But I think that would be the smart thing to do if I were Adam Gase. Moving to Detroit, the Lions 31, the Giants 26. Matthew Stafford, 7 passing touchdowns in the last 2 games for his Detroit Lions. Lions moved to 3-3-1. Giants are now 2-6. By the way, the Daniel Jones hype, he had a solid game, throwing for 4 touchdowns, but the Daniel Jones hype has completely been put on a halt, and as it should, because he's a little overrated. I think we can all admit he's a little overrated. Nothing wrong with that. I think he'll still be a franchise quarterback for the Giants, but just pump the brakes. Let's pump the brakes. Give the man time. Don't do him a disservice. The Lions, 3-3-1. Continue to impress me. They continue to impress me as a team. And I think they can contend for a playoff spot. I don't think they'll get there. But they are a 500 team. I know that is exactly what Alex Baker wants. Shout out to Alex Baker, former co-host of the Benchwarmers Redemption. He loves his Detroit Lions. Absolute sarcasm. Absolutely loves to criticize them, win or lose. But hey. Isn't that most sports fans? That's me with the Browns. I'm not going to lie. That's me with the Browns. But the Lions look pretty good. Giants also acquiring Leonard Williams from the New York Jets in exchange for a 3rd and a 5th. That's a good trade, I think, for both teams, especially for the Jets, knowing they will not re-sign Leonard, get a 3rd rounder for him. For the Giants, performs well. Give him a deal. So I like that deal for both teams, mainly more for the Jets. This one is the one I was waiting for. Chicago, Illinois. Chargers beat the Bears 17-16. The Chargers had only 231 yards of total offense. 331 total yards of offense for the Chargers. That's the fewest in a win for the Chargers since 2012. It's time for the Bears to look at themselves in the mirror. I'm off the Bears train. As you know, I predicted them to go to the Super Bowl. I love what the Bears were doing, and I thought they could continue to keep it up. Not been the case at all. Eddie Pinheiro was the reason they lost this game. Now, granted, Mitchell Trubisky did not look pretty good. He did not. He led a great clutch drive, by the way. I still believe in Mitch. He had a great clutch drive that should have won the game for the Bears. And then the kicker. Well, of course it's going to be the kicker with the Bears. I mean, we've seen it before. Eddie Pinheiro missing the 41-yarder. And Matt Nagy. Matt Nagy's who I really want to harp on here. Matt Nagy. I think Matt Nagy should be on the hot seat. I really liked Matt Nagy when he got hired by the Bears. That's why I thought they were going to be great. I thought they were going to go to the Super Bowl, mainly in part because of Matt Nagy. Matt Nagy, his play calling this past 3 weeks has been nothing short of embarrassing for the Chicago Bears. Absolutely embarrassing. He had 43 seconds left, and he took a knee? He took a knee? Instead of running the football and trying to get closer to the field goal? What's the difference between a 41 and a 43-yarder? Let me ask, like honestly, what's the difference between a 41 and a 43 for a kicker? I mean, come on. Whereas you pull off a nice 5-yard run, 41 to 36? That's a difference, wouldn't you say so? It's a pretty nice difference. But no, Matt Nagy, and he defended himself, of course he did, at the end, saying we weren't going to run the ball because we knew we would have lost 3 or 4 yards because they would have known we were running the ball. And we would have lost 3 or 4 yards. I'm not very clear about that. Are we very clear, Matt Nagy, that your play calling has stunk for the Chicago Bears? Stunk. Stunk more than a skunk. The Bears are an embarrassment right now. They are a huge disappointment. And Matt Nagy needs to look himself in the mirror. Because he is failing that locker room right now. He is failing. Failing everybody. He's not putting, and Mitch is not, I'm not saying Mitchell Trubisky is playing well. He's not played well. But part of the reason is because Matt Nagy, his play calling has just been brutal. It's been brutal to watch. The Bears, season's over for Chicago, 3-4 in the NFC. It's over. It's just over. It's time. Sayonara, have a nice day. They're going to lose to the Eagles week 9. For sure. Week 10 gets even better, really. The Lions. Watch them lose to the Lions. I think they will probably lose to the Lions. And then week 11, they travel to the Rams. They're going to get smoked on Sunday Night Football. They'll probably beat the Giants at the Lions on Thanksgiving. I'll give them a win there. And then the fun begins. They're going to lose their last 4 games. Cowboys at the Packers, Chiefs, Vikings. They're going to lose all 4 of them. They're going to lose all 4 of them. They're going to be a 7-9, 6-10 football team. And Matt Nagy might get fired. And honestly, I would not blame them if they were to fire him. Because this is nothing short of embarrassing for the Chicago Bears. For the Chargers, they fired offensive coordinator Kent Wisenhunt. Kent Wisenhunt, after a win, but a pretty putrid effort on offense. They continue to be a little bit of a disappointment. Phillip Rivers, 19-29, 201 yards, a touchdown and a pick, not what you expect. Melvin Gordon continues to disappoint. 8 carries, 31 yards. Austin Eckler, by the way, only had 3 carries. That is not enough for Austin Eckler at all. Austin Eckler needs to get the ball more. Austin Eckler is a huge part of that Chargers offense. I think he's the X factor of that offense, and he needs to get the ball more. Keenan Allen had a couple drops. Not acceptable for Keenan Allen. He'll tell you that as well. Mike Williams, all right. 3 catches, 69 on 6 targets. Hunter Henry's pretty solid. They got the weapons in Los Angeles. They got more weapons probably than fans. Had to go there. Because there's not going to be anyone to respond. There's no Charger fan that's going to respond because there are no Charger fans. Oh, Los Angeles. Should have stayed in San Diego. Topic for another story. Moving on to the polar opposite of the Chargers fan base. To one of the best fan bases in football in Buffalo, who are very disappointed, and they should be, losing to the Eagles 31-13. Eagles had 218 rushing yards, most for them since week 13 of 2014. The Buffalo Bills defense that has been so great that decided not to show up. Just decided not to show up this week. I mean, the running for the Eagles, they just ran all over the Buffalo Bills. Josh Allen, too, not looking too good. 16-34, 169 yards. Not the best. Not the best. Decent running game. Singletary did well for his 3 carries. Frank Gore, not so much for his 9 with 34 yards. The Bills. I've been on the Bills, but until they beat a good team, I can't consider them for real. They're going to be a playoff team for sure, by default because of their schedule. By default. If you take a look at the Bills' schedule, I'll read it for the audience right now. It is a doozy. The Redskins at home, at the Browns, at the Dolphins, and the Broncos at home. Those are 4 easy wins. Easy wins. So I'll put them at 9-2. At the Cowboys, they'll lose. Versus the Ravens, they'll lose. I think they'll lose their next 4, to be honest. At Pittsburgh and at the Patriots, they'll lose all 4 of them. They'll go to 9-6, and then the Jets, they'll win. So they'll be 10-6. They'll be a playoff team. Probably get that 6th spot or the 5th spot. Definitely won't win the division. And then they'll get trounced in the playoffs. But by default, because of their schedule, the Bills are a playoff lock. That's right. They are a playoff lock, in my opinion, because of their schedule. Even if they win 1 game against those tough teams, I mean, that puts them at 11-5. 10 wins gets you in the playoffs in the AFC for sure. So the Bills, they'll be fine, but don't expect anything from them when it really matters. Moving on to Atlanta, the Falcons showed some fight. However, still fell to defeat 27-20 to Seattle. Seattle's now 4-0 on the road to begin the season for the first time since 1980. So Seattle playing really well on the road, losing 2 games at home. Not what you expected out of Seattle. I will say, I think the fight that the Falcons showed saved Dan Quinn's job for the rest of the season. Now, he will be gone once the season ends. But I thought if they didn't show that fight, he'd be gone by bye week. But he won't be. Matt Schaub, by the way, and I know it was in garbage time. I get it. But 39-52 for 460 yards? I like that. I like that for Matt Schaub. That's good. That's good. Bring back the old Matt Schaub. The Houston Texans match job. Devontae Freeman, I think he should be benched for Brian Hill. I really do believe that. Brian Hill has been pretty solid for the Falcons. Devontae Freeman has not, and continues to be average at best, averaging 3 yards in that game versus the Seahawks. Julio played pretty well as well. But Seattle did what they're supposed to do. Kind of took their foot off the gas, which concerns me a little. But they should be fine. Russell Wilson, 14-20, 182. Not his best game. They ran the ball really well against Atlanta. But all teams really do against the Falcons defense. Moving on to San Francisco and the 49ers. Anyone still think they're not for real? Anyone? Anyone? Cricket, cricket, cricket. 51-13 over the Panthers. 49ers, 51 points, the most for them since week 16 in 1993. An absolute drubbing of Carolina. Carolina will stick with Kyle Allen. even though he had a pretty bad game, 19 of 37, 158 yards and 3 interceptions and 0 touchdowns. But the 49ers offense, the power run scheme of Kyle Shanahan never disappoints. Tevin Coleman looks amazing. Amazing with Mr. Shanahan. Raheem Mostert had a pretty solid game. Matt Breida got hurt. We'll see if he'll be ready for Thursday night. Sanders opens up another dimension, in my opinion, for that offense. George Kittle, obviously, is a phenomenal tight end. And the defense, the mean, nasty defense of the San Francisco 49ers. Nick Bosa. 3 sacks and an interception. Just a monster. Just an absolute monster. Nothing else to say. Just, wow. What a great player. What a great football player Nick Bosa is. Already better than his brother Joey. Contender for Defensive Player of the Year. Lock for Rookie of the Year defensively. Probably between him, Myles Garrett, Jamie Collins for Defensive Player of the Year. Those three, I think, would be the finalists. But San Francisco, train keeps rolling for them. They are 100% for real. It's 7-0. Put them in the playoffs. I think they are coming out of the NFC and representing the NFC in the Super Bowl against Tommy Boy and the New England Patriots, who absolutely throttled my Cleveland Browns 27-13. Bill Belichick, congratulations to him on his 300th career win. That is including playoffs, by the way. Patriots, they did what they were supposed to do, but that's not the story of the day. Of course it's not, because the Cleveland Browns are the story. The Cleveland Browns at 2-5 are an absolute embarrassment to my city of Cleveland. They have been pathetic. And you know why they've been pathetic? Name every reason you have. It's true. It's probably true. The coaching is horrible. Freddie Kitchens challenges things that are 100% not going to get overturned, and his play calling continues to be embarrassing. 3 turnovers and 3 plays against Foxborough, or against the Patriots in Foxborough. You think you're going to win turning the ball over 3 times and 3 plays? You really think you're going to win against the Patriots? And you know the issue. You know the real issue that I have with the Cleveland Browns. They can't stop talking. Shut up. The Cleveland Browns, just shut up. You're losing. You're losers right now. Like, I don't want to be mean. You're losers. You are a loser. You are a losing football team right now. You're 2-5 with all that talent, quote unquote talent. You're 2-5. Odell Beckham Jr., how about you do me a favor? Stop talking about the Patriots. Stop. It's like he's not invested. Odell Beckham Jr., I don't think is invested. You know why I don't think he's invested? Because he decided not to show up during OTAs. Every single Cleveland Brown player showed up at OTAs except one. And who's that one who didn't show up? Oh, it'd be Mr. Odell Beckham Jr. And we complain about, oh, the chemistry, all this, all that. Well, maybe if he showed up in OTAs, the chemistry would be there. And for the defense for crying out loud. Olivier Vernon, where the hell have you been? Where the hell has Olivier Vernon been? I get he had a sack. He was okay. I'm talking about the season overall. Where the hell has Olivier Vernon been? We traded the best pass blocking guard, in my opinion, in Kevin Zeitler for Olivier Vernon. Olivier Vernon then decides to come out. And no one's talking about Olivier Vernon in part because of Myles Garrett. Because Myles Garrett has been amazing. Olivier Vernon has 2 sacks. 2 sacks. I mean, really? Really? Olivier Vernon. By the way, that's that same guy who was a beast for the Dolphins, wasn't as good for the Giants, but still was okay. He has 2 sacks. Olivier Vernon has 2 sacks. 2 sacks. Embarrassing. Absolutely embarrassing. In 7 games, he has 2 sacks. Our linebacking core. Here's another issue. Mack Wilson is our 5th round pick. Mack Wilson, get the bleep off Twitter. You tweet every hour. How about you get off Twitter and start defending people? Get into film session. I mean, come on. Mack Wilson, you're a 5th round pick. You tweet every second. Cleveland, stick with us. The fight's not over. I wouldn't trade these guys for anything in the locker room. We'll be just fine. Everyone hates us. We'll be okay. Don't worry about it. Get off Twitter. You tweet every hour. Get off. Get off Twitter. Please. Get off. You can't defend anybody to save your life. Spend that time in the film room. Demarius Randle. Get off Twitter. Stop tweeting. Stop talking, Cleveland Browns. You guys think you're all that. You're 2-5. You're 2-5. You're worse than you were with Hugh Jackson. But you keep talking. And you know what the worst part about this is? That's not even the main cause. The coaching is not the main cause. And the tweeting and the stop talking is not the main cause. The main causes are disgraceful owner, Mr. Haslam. The Cleveland Browns will never win under Mr. Haslam. Never. You can do whatever the heck you want. They will never, ever, ever make the playoffs under Mr. Haslam. Mr. Haslam has consistently spent the bare minimum under the salary cap while blaming people. Mr. Haslam hired Freddie Kitchens. Did you hear Freddie Kitchens in any other job search this past offseason for a head coaching job? Any other one? I dare anyone to look up, was Freddie Kitchens interviewed for any other job? I'll give you a hint. He was not. I wonder why. You know why we hired Freddie Kitchens? Because he's cheap. He's cheap. Cheap as dirt. We had Mike McCarthy right there. Pretty good coach. We had Bruce Arians, who's won every single season. Except now with Tampa Bay. That's partly because of Jameis Winston. But he's won every single season. But no. He's even publicly saying, I want the Browns job. I'm from Cleveland. I made for that. No. No, we don't want to pay him that. No. We're going to get the guy who's never even been a full-time coordinator before. Never been a full-time coordinator before. And you know the worst part about this? I mean, I keep saying the worst part. It's just everything is an absolute... I'm running out of vocabulary because any bad word you want to describe the Cleveland Browns is applicable here. It really is. It's just is. It's embarrassing. And Freddie Kitchens would get more heat. The reason he's not getting more heat is because Hugh Jackson was the coach before him. Hugh Jackson, probably the worst coach of all time. This is not good for my health. This is not good for my health talking about the Cleveland Browns like this, man. Oh, they just... And they're going to lose to the Broncos. That's not a pick-em. I'm telling you right now, they are going to lose to the Denver Broncos. They can't get off Twitter. I don't care that Brendan Allen's starting. They can't get off Twitter. They're traveling a day early, by the way, to Denver to try to get acclimated with the mile-high weather. Really? Really? Why don't you practice for a week up in Denver? How about that? Why don't you practice in Denver for a week? If you care so much about winning. But they don't. They don't care about winning. They'll be 2-6. And they'll play Buffalo and they'll be 2-7. Embarrassing. Biggest disappointment in the National Football League by far, the Cleveland Browns. Nothing else to say. That was not good for my health. That was not good for my health. Let's get back to doing healthy things and talk about the Houston Texans. A guy who I admire in Deshaun Watson, my goodness. That now, that's a quarterback the Cleveland Browns could have had as well. But, you know, that's stories for another day. I'm enough Cleveland Browns. Deshaun Watson, second most passing touchdowns in Texans history already. Already. He is amazing. That play, he got kicked in the face, almost went down. I'll still stay up and throw a touchdown. I love Deshaun Watson. I love Deshaun Watson. What a monster. What a great football player. By the way, shout out to J.J. Watt. We hope he recovers from that horrible injury he suffered. The torn pectoral. Definitely hope he gets back to 100%. Devastated for J.J. Watt. Texans at 5-3. Did what they're supposed to do. They're going to be contending. They're going to be on and off. They just prove it every year. They're just on some games and they'll be off some games. But they played well against the Raiders. And the Raiders played pretty well as well. Derek Carr had a solid game. But it just wasn't enough for the Raiders. Two teams played pretty well. And the Raiders came out on the losing end of things. Sunday Night Football. Packers and the Chiefs. Packers win 31-24. Aaron Jones, 226 scrimmage yards. Most by a Green Bay Packer player since 2003. So shout out to Aaron Jones. The Chiefs look pretty good with Matt Moore under center. He performed pretty well. I mean, 24 for 36, 267 yards and two touchdowns. You're not going to get better than that from back quarterback. So give credit to Matt Moore. He played really well. This was another case of a really well-played football game between two really good teams. And the Packers were just better that night. And obviously, I think if the Chiefs had Mahomes, would it have made a difference? Yeah, definitely would have made a difference. For sure. But the Packers, they keep on rolling. They're 7-1 right now. Looking pretty much a lock for the playoffs. The NFC North, not so much with the Vikings right on their tail. But they look really good. The Chiefs at 5-3. Welcome the Vikings coming out soon. So that will be a nice game as well. And Monday night, the Miami Dolphins and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Steelers win 27-14. Steelers have won 18 straight Monday night home games. Pretty remarkable. Dolphins were up 14-0, and they gave all of us a scare. Like, what about the tanking? And then on 3rd and 20, they do an all-out 8-man blitz. And went back to tanking. And being the Miami Dolphins. You can't tell me 100% that call was not for tanking. Anyone who is smart would know not to do an all-out blitz on 3rd and 20. Unless you are trying to lose. And in the Miami Dolphins case, they are trying to lose. Good old Miami. Steelers, I think they'll be there. They'll be there. They always are. Be right in the 8-8 bubble, 9-7. They'll probably miss out, but they'll be there because they just are. They find a way. I think they'll probably even beat the Colts next week. I think they will. It's some weird feeling I have. I think they'll beat the Colts. But it's a good football team right there, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Underrated football team. Did not play well against Miami, but you don't even have to play well against Miami to beat Miami. So that is that for Week 8 of the National Football League. Before we get into pick'ems, shout out to Mr. Trey Young. We hope he is all right dealing with his ankle injury. Hope he is okay. All right, it is time for pick'ems. Last week, I went 9-1. I now have a record of 58-27 overall. So let's get into it. College football. Michigan traveling to Maryland. Michigan will run all over them. Georgia at Florida, the game of the week in college football. I think the Georgia Bulldogs will upset the Florida Gators. Now, I know Georgia is favored, so I guess it's not an upset, but rankings-wise, it would be an upset. I don't know. It'd be interesting scope there, but I think Georgia will win. Utah at Washington, I think the Utes will come out on top in that Pac-12 battle. SMU at Memphis in an American Or the American Athletic Conference. I think the Mustangs will pull that one out in Memphis. That should be a fun game. It's like a college game day, by the way. Look forward to that. And Oregon traveling to USC. Always a good game. I think Oregon will come out on top. Moving on to the National Football League. Thursday night football. San Francisco 49ers traveling to the Arizona Cardinals. I think the San Francisco 49ers will win and move to 8-0. London, we go to. Houston Texans traveling to Jacksonville. Jacksonville, really, it's the home team, but they're both traveling to London. I'm picking the Jaguars. I am picking the Jaguars to win this game. Houston is up and down. They are an up and down football team. And I think that shows in London. I think the Jags will get them in London. I think Minshew will have a phenomenal game and put to bed all the rumors of should it be him or Nick Foles. The Packers traveling to Los Angeles to face the Chargers, and I think the Chargers will beat them. I really do think the Chargers will beat the Packers. Now, it's going to be a Green Bay Packer home game in a way. It will be a Green Bay Packer home game, but I think the firing of Ken Whisenhunt is going to power the Charger offense to do bigger and better things. And I think the Packers, they've been on the edge right now. They played a lot of just iffy football. Like, not great football. Iffy's just good, but not great. I think the Chargers will get them and beat them in Los Angeles. That's the one I feel least confident about, by the way. But got to pick some risky ones. Baltimore hosting New England Sunday Night Football. Patriots will win and go to 8-0. I will never pick against the New England Patriots, ever. And Monday night, the Dallas Cowboys traveling to New York to take on the Giants. I think the Cowboys will win fairly comfortably over Danny Dimes and the New York Giants. This has been the Benchwarmers Redemption. My name is Sebastian Merrick. And until next time, peace, stay safe, and remember to love yourself.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.